From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Every year, more than 3,000 birds get a second chance at the Ruth Melikar Bird Center in Boise. The Bird Rescue and Rehabilitation Center takes in injured birds and then nurses them back to health so they can be released back into the wild. Now, baby birds who end up at the center are raised by volunteers, and these birds need to be fed every 30 minutes, 12 hours a day. Jennifer Rockwell is the director of the center, and she's joining us now to talk more about the work they do. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So Jennifer, I have never heard of this center. So I'm curious, how long has the center been taking care of injured and orphan birds?
The center is part of Animals in Distress Association, which was founded in 1989. When Ruth Melikar died in 98, that's when they started the center. So it's been since about 1998.
Wow. And where exactly is the center?
The center is in the foothills on 36th Street off of Hill Road. We're in the Red Barn. We're overlooking the Quail Hollow Golf Course.
Oh, I've seen that many times over the years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So describe the barn itself. I mean, what's inside? I mean, what happens when a bird is brought in?
Yes. We have, the barn itself. There is our rehabilitation center is downstairs. Then we have an Airbnb upstairs. And you can see that on our website called The Bird's Nest. That's part of the whole barn. And all those funds go to our nonprofit organization. Then we have a kind of a garage area. And then we have a duckville area that was added on for all of our waterfowl that we get in seasonally.
So talk to us about Ruth. I mean, who was Ruth Melikar?
Ruth Melikar was, we kind of call her the bird lady of Boise, the Treasure Valley. So she would take injured and orphaned birds of any species into her own home and rehab them and then release them. And she did that for years. She was the, as far as I know, the only one rehabbing birds out of her home. And so people would just take her, the injured or orphaned birds. And when she died, that's when we started the bird center.
So how do you rehabilitate a bird? Does it depend, I'm assuming, on whether it's a baby bird or an injured bird, as you've said?
Yeah. Yes, there's different stages. If we do get in a baby bird, then of course, you know, we need to raise that baby bird up. We make our own formula that kind of emulates a little bit of the diet that the mama bird would feed the baby. And then, you know, as they grow, the bird goes through different transitions of baskets to a cage, then outside to acclimate to the weather and use its flight wings and get ready for release. An injured bird, you know, every bird is given a full exam, and whatever that injury is, we can work with many injuries, and they'll be in the medical room until that injury heals. And then that bird is then released.
About how many birds do you take care of every year?
Our average, our season is about May 1st till about mid-September. And in that five-month period, we will receive an average of anywhere from 2,800 to 3,000 birds.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
yes.
So as I mentioned in the introduction, baby birds take a lot of time and care. I mean, tough is this to feed them and care for them? And how do you find volunteers? I mean, every 30 minutes you're feeding them for 12 hours a day?
Mostly. Sometimes every hour. Depends on the age of the bird. When they're super young and nestling age, then they are fed about every half hour. And we try to kind of get them to start, you know, once they get bigger and a little bit older and start using their wings, we try to teach them to start eating on their own and not be so dependent. So, but yeah, it takes a lot of time. We are fortunate enough to get volunteers, you know, every year to come in at different shifts, you know, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we do have just a small staff too, that's paid nothing, because you can't completely open 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have baby bird feeders, and then we have volunteers that help on top of that. And we're fortunate to get those people.
So I know you have all kinds of stories to tell, and I would love to hear about some of those. So I've been told that you helped raise and release a pair of screech owls. What was that like?
Okay. Yeah. So this was a cool experience for me a couple of years ago. You know, what we want to do really too is we want to keep these birds in the wild. I'd rather have them be raised by their family group in the wild and not come to our center. But circumstances go as they go. That doesn't always happen, which is why we get so many. But so we got a call about these three little screech owls, and Western screech owls are cavity nesters. And sometimes they don't pick the best place to nest and have their kiddos. So they picked the site of this home that these people were remodeling and had their kids in there. And these people, I guess one of the guys ripped off the side of the house and found three baby owls, and it, you know, couldn't be covered back up. So they had to remove the owls, and they brought them to me, and they were just a mess. They had feces all over them, and they were just infested with fleas. We got them all cleaned up and good to go. And typically what I would normally do is I would try to find like a foster family for them, so they are raised in the wild by an adoptive family. And birds of prey will accept fosters. They can't count. They don't know. They biologically just, you know, respond to feeding their kids. So you can add another kid, and they'll feed that baby and raise it up. But sometimes I don't always have the luck of having an available cavity nest for orphans. Yeah. So I didn't have a foster family at the time, and I had to raise these guys. So I raised them up, and I kept myself incognito. So they wouldn't recognize the human, you know, getting food from the human. And that went very well. James McKinley, who I work with, he banded those birds upon release. I think I had them for about 6 weeks, and they were released. And it was really a neat situation.
So, Jennifer, how has the growth in the Treasure Valley impacted what you do?
Our numbers are increasing because of the growth that's going on in the Treasure Valley. So these birds are just not, their natural nesting territories are being taken away. So they're looking for other, you know, areas to nest in that aren't the most conducive to, you know, in buildings and, you know, near houses and in cars. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, you know, a lot of the habitat's being taken out due to mass development, and they're having to choose really interesting places to nest. And it usually is involved, you know, near human traffic, and the people pick them up, and or the nest has to be removed and then brought to us. So it is kind of causing, it is a problem.
It sounds like it. So I'm curious. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm curious then. So let's say you find a bird, right? What should you do? Or maybe more importantly, what shouldn't I do if I find a baby bird or an injured bird?
If you find a baby bird, if you find an injured bird, you know, we're looking for a visible injury. We ask a series of questions to kind of see on the phone if somebody's calling us, you know, tell us what you see. Do you see blood? Do you see a droopy wing? All that other stuff. A baby bird, though, there's the difference between a nestling bird and a fledgling bird. Now, the nestling bird is the one that's, more naked and is still dependent on the parents, we ask people, look for a nest, look for, you know, a like bird that's an adult, you know, that's near this baby, but see if you can find a nest and put it back in the nest before removing it from the location. The fledgling bird is the bird that's going to be grounded, that people pick these birds up all the time, and they don't understand that when a fledgling is, when a nestling is ready to fledge out of the nest, it's a normal part of their development. And they're grounded for a couple of days while they're learning how to fly. And their family group is teaching them this from afar. And we get lots of unnecessary intakes. We get lots of fledglings that should not have been picked up and brought to us. So we want people to call us before they remove the bird from the area. Please call us and we can answer questions. Maybe that bird does need to stay there and it doesn't need to be picked up.
Mm-hmm. So I have just about 2 minutes left. So I'm curious too, what if, like, let's say at your house, you find a bird that's maybe nesting. I mean, this has happened at our house twice now, where, and we live near a creek, and we've had ducks who nest, and they found a nice little area. We leave them alone. And one day, you know, it hatches and, you know, and there's little baby ducks. And then, you know, after a while it's all gone. So is that okay to just kind of allow that to happen as well, even though we live, you know, pretty close to downtown?
I'm sorry, I'm misunderstanding the question. What's all gone? You mean the family group?
So the family group has, you know, they nest then and they hatch. I mean, is it okay just to also just leave it there?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as ducks go, I mean, if you're on a creek, and I'm also on Loggers Creek, it's a great place to have your kiddos if you're a duck, you know. But then those ducks do pick odd places, like in the Target strip mall, in between a couple of bushes in the parking lot. That's when it's like, that's not going to work unless somebody is willing to stop traffic, because the mama duck is having those kiddos near a body of water. We might not know where that body of water is, but she knows where that is. And once those babies hatch, she's going to lead her babies to that water. But that water could also be across five lanes of traffic. So therefore, you might have to intervene.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate you coming on the program and talking to us about this and all of the work that you do. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And may I mention that we are a nonprofit. We are not state or city or federally funded. So we are only here to offer this service to the community and to these birds by private donations.
And people can donate
Your website. And our website. Yes. And our website is IdahoWildlifeRescue.org. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Jennifer Rockwell, the director of the Ruth Malachar Bird Center. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.